Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And yes, it's raining in the rainforest. I know, but spring is here. Cherry trees are blooming. Everything's starting to go. And some of the dogs get red eyes from this. You can help that a lot by using natural tears, by keeping them clean with a clean cloth that you don't share between dogs and don't share between eyes. Clean wet water really helps a lot. Brushing them, keeping their coats a little bit shorter than usual. They have allergies just like us. So you might notice your dogs reacting a little more as spring comes to your area. And some say that giving them yams helps them with all kinds of pollutants, like smoke, like pollen, anything that their body isn't recognizing as a friend, that yam boosts their immunity. So you can try that. Most dogs love yams, love them. Cooked or raw, especially cooked. I love yams cooked, but I don't know if it helps with my allergies, maybe. Okay, so today we've got some springtime topics, but we've also got a few guests today. And later in the show, if I get a chance, I will apologize to Justin Bieber. His people sent me an email about all the good work he does. So, all right, okay. I know I offered to trade him on air last year. I think it was Beyonce. I don't know. But I offered to trade him for a couple people with another American radio host. We were going to make a trade. And that was after the monkey fiasco. So I wasn't very happy with him when he was traveling with a monkey and not respecting the treatment of the monkey and its needs and the laws of the lands he was going to and expecting celebrity bypass for all that. And I'm very happy that the monkey's still in the rescue sanctuary. But apparently Justin Bieber is helping dogs, so I have to apologize. Plus, he does mention his mother in his latest song, and you got to give a boy credit where credit's due. Okay, so we're going to go back to the show and talk about Goo Fur. We've got Barbara Capelli coming to us from Goo Fur. Welcome to the show, Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you. What is Goo Fur?
Goo Fur is a natural paste that is created to be combined with the medication of supplement and offered to the cat. It can be offered to a dog too, but this was initially created to help medicating cats. So once the medication of vitamins is mixed with Goo Fur, can be offered as it is, and most of them love it, or can be applied directly to their fur, and they will lick it off from there, as anybody with cats know. Cats do not like anything on their fur.
So, okay,
it's a way to medicate.
In the old days, they used to just stuff a pill down the cat's throat, and then they found out that those pills weren't dissolving right, that they were hurting their trachea, that the vet was actually doing harm by stuffing a dry pill down the throat. So now they try and squish it up or kind of put it in wet food, and then you're supposed to use this dispenser thing. It's still a bit of a stuff and a gamble, and if your cat bites, it can be risky. So I don't know. This sounds way easier.
It is easy for the handler and the cat itself. They don't feel scared of it. You can wait. Like in my case, I rescue cats. I have 42. So the cats who don't like Goo Fur, which is not the majority love it. It's about 92% love it. The other 8% are like, huh. So I just wait until they are grooming themselves, and then I would just simply apply it wherever they are grooming and walk away. And they keep going as if nothing has happened. So there is not the shock, the trauma, the stress. I got to medicate them. Am I going to get hurt? And it really saves the relationship with the animals as well.
Well, and that's a huge problem. When you say 42 rescue cats, I mean, each one comes afraid, some of them shy, some of them with issues. And yet, when they first come, I know this from my own rescue work, there's so much nasty things that have to be done. Cleaning of wounds and washing and flea treatments and pills and needles. And, you know, it's hard to keep a good relationship and teach him or her that you're the new friend and to trust you if you're 3 times a day stuffing pills down her throat, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't happen. I wasn't able to do it. I was terrified of having to pill it again. And one of my vets actually has confessed that he can only medicate them once.
That's so true.
They
medicate at the doctor, then they send you home with impossible instructions. Repeat twice a day. Your cat won't. One time you can trick it, but after the first time, it knows exactly what's happening, and it doesn't want that anymore. Oh, 42 times must be really difficult.
It was mission impossible. That's how I called it. And it really changed my life doing this. And I tried to make a commercial, and eventually I was able to offer to other people. Some cats' life could be saved because people can't medicate them anymore.
And that's so sad. It's so simple. And sometimes it's something where it just needs 10 days of medicine or 2 weeks, right? It's not chronic. But if you can't fix the problem, if you can't get the antibiotics in, you can't let the animals suffer, right?
Right. And I have people telling me that they consider euthanasia because they didn't want to stress the cat anymore. They couldn't see being able to do this. Some animals have a chronic kidney disease and must be medicated on a daily basis. And for those people, it was traumatic. Now, just a quick note, Goofer can be used for chronic kidney disease medication because it contains very low phosphorus.
And that's a really common thing with cats, right? Really common.
Almost. Yes, if they live long enough. They don't drink enough. I think that's what it is. They're not very fond of water. So Google
Well, you know what? I found some
stress.
Cats anyway, and I want to know from your 42 rescue cats, do you find if you set up an ornamental fountain, if the water's moving, that they'll drink more?
Yes. But there is some, absolutely. But there is some that would only drink from very narrow little plates that they stuck their head in there. I'm not sure why. So I have different way of letting them drink because all of them are kind of special that way. I don't know what has happened to them in the past, so maybe they've fallen in water or so. But yes, the water fountain really does help.
Well, we're coming to the end of the program, so I'd really like you to tell people how can they get Goofer. I know it's safe to be used every day, and it's good for many different medications. If you're having trouble giving your cat some meds, or you have a cat where you know if you had to, you couldn't, then this is the way to go. How do they get your product?
They just need to go to goofer.com and place an order on the site.
So that's GOOFURR.com, goofer.com.
Correct.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
I feel like I'm keeping you from 42 cats who really want your attention.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us. All right, everybody. We're saying goodbye to Barbara, calling us from Hawaii with goofer.com. If you need to medicate your cat, get goofer.com. And we'll be coming up next. Talk about something very different. A launcher. Yeah, does your arm get tired? Do you have a fetchaholic dog? Well, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Listen up, animal lovers. You can support your local animal shelters and welfare organizations for free. Just shop online, through adoptashelter.com. It's easy. Go to adoptashelter.com, pick the organization you want to support, and then connect to over 750 of your favorite online stores, including Amazon, Expedia, Macy's, Office Depot, Walmart, and Zazzle. Then shop like you normally do. Everything you buy earns a cash donation for the animal welfare organization of your choice. And you always pay the exact same prices as going to the merchant directly. Simply click, shop, and donate at adoptashelter.com. Hey, pet lovers. This is something I want to share with you. Canine massage. Yeah, learn how to massage your dog with Dr. Sue Furman. Check out Dr. Furman's online classes for the benefits of massaging your dog. Help make your dog healthy. This is where I want you to go. HolisticTouchTherapy.com. A healthy dog is a happy dog. I'll repeat her website. You go to HolisticTouchTherapy.com. Learn how to bond with your best friend and pet with purpose.
I'm your doggy, and I love you. And you know that I need you too.
Hello! You're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. So it's me, Deb Wolf. And before we talk about launching tennis balls and fetchaholic dogs, because we're going to talk about that in a second, I did want to mention that, well, it should have been in last week's show, but we were live in Orlando last week. So I didn't get to cover something in the news. A drunk driver. But he hit Iditarod sled dogs. And to me, oh man, it really bothers me when people drink and drive and hurt other people. But man, to be doing that, to be pulling stunts like that, oh, I hope he goes away for a long time. So I did want to comment on that. When you're around animals, when you're around events, you got to be on your best manners. He said he was blind drunk, has no awareness nor memory of what he did. All the more dangerous, I say. No remorse, no sense that there's going to be a correction in behavior. This guy needs to be kept away from dogs, people, events, cars, alcohol. All right, so we're back on the show, and we're talking about that fetchaholic dog, that dog that just won't quit, that dog that can run so well, you'd never be able to match him with your arm, that dog that actually mutinies. He leaves you at the dog park to go for someone with a better throwing arm, or heckles the dogs that are fetching for the person who lugged along the gigantic tennis racket so they could hit their ball farther. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. No, you don't. Because we're going to tell you about something else with Bonnie Snyder and the Max Launcher. Welcome to the show, Bonnie.
Hi, Deb. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's great. It's great to have you on because I do have this problem. You know, I'm very right-handed. My right throw is way better than my left. The dogs will not put up with me using my other arm. And my arm gets tired. So
yes,
what could you do?
So my dad created a new product called the Max Launcher. It is a tennis ball and flying disc launcher as well. It'll launch a tennis ball 40 to 90 foot. If you give the launcher a little shove when you shoot it, it's going to go up to 120 foot. It'll shoot our flying disc about 150 feet. It takes all of the work out of playing fetch with your dog, makes it so much easier and so much more fun.
Can I use different kinds of balls with it?
You can use any ball that is the size of a tennis ball. You can use balls that are a little smaller if you need to, but our product has the hands-free pickup feature. So if you use a smaller ball, it obviously isn't going to pick it up. But if you have a ball that's any ball that's a normal tennis ball size, it's going to launch it.
Okay, so the hands-free, that sounds really like, well, who would need that? Are you kidding me? That ball is covered in dog goober and mud and whatever else it rolled in. That's a great feature.
That it is. It makes all that slobber just not even seem like it's there.
And it gets your hands away from the area. Because there are dogs who are a little snappy, a little too eager. There are kids who get their hands a little too close. It's nice to have a little bit of a separation there, isn't it?
That is correct. Yes, it is.
So, okay, well, if I could, you see, the other things I've seen on the market and tried have worked well, but I had to have the exact ball. And then when that ball goes missing, as it invariably does, I can't just go grab some used balls at the local, you know, sports place that sells used tennis balls that have lost their bounce like I do. I mean, I have a boarding kennel. I have 50 dogs here. I go through balls. So, yeah, I buy big garbage bags full of old tennis balls. And I want something I can use with whatever. That's so good.
Yes, the Max Launcher definitely gives you that ability. If you have any tennis ball in your yard, or no matter whether it's for a dog or a tennis ball that humans use, it's going to work in our launcher.
I'm pretty sneaky. I go behind tennis courts. I go on top of school roofs. I'm a tennis ball hunter.
Hey, and sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
Well, you know, there are some dogs who are really good at finding a ball where you would never expect. You know, you take them on a walk and they always come back with one. They're out there. Those balls. Keep hunting.
That's right.
So why was this created? How did you come up with this?
So my dad created it. He started making it about 2.5 years ago. We raised some Goldens and Labs and Golden Doodles and Labradoodles ourselves. And so we're outside playing with the dogs nonstop. We have, you know, we know some doctors and stuff. They say that a lot of people have those shoulder and elbow problems. So Dad was just wanting to come up with something that's not out there that will make it a lot easier on people to play fetch with their dogs so that the dogs can play fetch. It'll keep the dogs exercised. It'll keep the dogs stimulated. And the Max Launcher does exactly that. If you have shoulder problems or elbow problems, the launcher has a little lever in it that holds the ball. You just simply pull that lever back and you pull the trigger, and it launches the ball as far as you want it to go, or as little as 40 foot if you have a smaller backyard.
Oh, this is super easy on the human.
Oh, definitely it is. It's going to definitely wear your dog out before it wears yourself out.
And a tired dog is a happy dog, right?
That's correct. Yes, it is.
Because, you know, I get the whole Golden Doodle thing. That's, in fact, today, I had Scarlett, the lovely Golden Retriever, mating with Noodle, the standard poodle, just today. So 64 days and counting, we'll have puppies. But
those dogs,
yes, they're very boisterous, Golden Doodles, very bouncy, very animated, almost cartoon-like. And when they're well-exercised, they're calm and loving and characters. When they're not well-exercised, they jump all over you, knock your stuff flying. I mean, it's a nuisance, right? So
you need
them tired when they're between, say, 1.5 and 5. You need this toy, right? You need to throw.
Yes, you definitely do. It. I mean, it's one of those things that you don't think you really need until you start using it, and you're like, where have you been my whole life?
Yeah, like the Golden Doodle, you know,
right,
or the standard poodle. Sometimes I get people, it's their first dog, and that's special. But it's even more special when they've had dogs their whole life and they think they had the best dog ever before, the best breed ever. And then they get a load of this, because the standard poodle is so cunning, so clever socially, so able to figure out what you want and need and be that. And the golden is very interested in you, you know, cares so much about you. The sun rises and sets on your head. So the two combined make a really, really nice dog.
That's correct. That you get a very, you know, the poodle is extremely intelligent. The golden is as great of a family dog as you can get. You combine the two together, you get the best of both worlds. Plus, you get a dog that sheds a whole lot less than a normal golden will.
Well, yeah. And see, I'm a breeder, so in my house, I enjoy the standard poodles. I can have, you know, 4 standard poodles come into the house right after I've vacuumed. Not one hair out of place.
That's
one
correct.
Golden Retriever, Mama, she comes in and turns around. I got a vacuum again.
2 minutes,
again.
It's over with.
Yeah, all ruined. Little dust bunnies under everything. So, yeah, there's an advantage, especially some of my puppies have gone to service work. And when you're taking a dog into an environment that might have people with allergies or a hospital, I mean,
right. Yeah,
less hair is good. Definitely. Some of my poodles have done that, too. So if you're out there thinking poodles and doodles are just foo-foo dogs, think again. They can be fetchaholics. They can be so good at this game. And fetch is kind of a godsend for us humans because it's the easiest, fastest, simplest way to make your dog tired and happy.
Yes, it is. And the Max Launcher, just because of the distances that it'll throw, is going to wear your dog out, whether you think it will or not.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Can you tell people listening worldwide where they can get it?
Yeah, we just launched at Global Pet Expo in Florida, as you were speaking of earlier. So we are working on getting into some stores right now. But right now, the best place I can tell you to go is to our website, which is www.maxlauncher.com. It's all one word. And you can go on there, order our product right from there, and also check out our Facebook page, which is also at Max Launcher.
Thank you for joining me today, Bonnie.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so Max Launcher, everybody. Coming up next, we're going to talk about, well, we're going to do the right thing. If you want to shop and you like to shop and you sometimes feel guilty no more. Get the deals you want from the stores you love and do the right thing. We're going to talk to Chris Rubin about that coming up next on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
you know
I really you do.
I really do.
Hey, pet lovers, this is something I want to share with you. Canine massage. Yeah, learn how to massage your dog with Dr. Sue Furman. Check out Dr. Furman's online classes for the benefits of massaging your dog. Help make your dog healthy. This is where I want you to go. HolisticTouchTherapy.com. A healthy dog is a happy dog. I'll repeat her website. You go to HolisticTouchTherapy.com. Learn how to bond with your best friend and pet with purpose. Hey, pet lovers. Are your cats giving you problems? Well, we have a solution for you. Contact Dr. Marcy Kosky. She is a certified feline trainer and behaviorist with more than 20 years' experience. She specializes in helping cat lovers whose out-of-control cats are turning their lives and homes upside down. Go to her website, felinebehaviorsolutions.com. Her site is www.felinebehaviorsolutions.com. She will help you locally as well as long distance. Contact her now.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf, debwolf.ca if you want to check me out online. And we're coming to you with Chris Rubin again. And as I told you in the break, just before the break, that if you want to shop and you want to buy the stuff you always buy and you want to get the best deals, but you don't want to feel guilty about it and you want to do the right thing, then Chris is the way to go. He has it set up. So you buy the stuff you're used to, the stuff you want, the way you always do, with a little bit of a switch up, it makes donations flow in to animal organizations. And that's what we're talking about today, specifically a food bank for pets in Texas. And he's found Judy and brought her along. So welcome back to the show, Chris. I'm so glad you brought Judy. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you so much once again for having me, Deb. Yeah, you know, typically we try and talk about special needs animals or senior animals. But I thought that we could do some math for animals, especially around Good Friday. And with that in mind, I asked a guest to come on, somebody that is near and dear to my heart that I've known for a long time, but is doing absolutely fabulous work for so many animals in the state of Texas. And I'm going to let her, I'm going to introduce her, and then I want her to tell us all about her organization and what we're doing together to help feed dogs. Please help me welcome Judy Griggs from RPEL. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Chris. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for asking us.
Well, you know, Judy, it's about time we had a food bank for pets. I love the idea. I hope you'll tell us all about it.
I would love to. Shall we go for it?
No, I want you to say it. You know all your numbers better than I do, and the way you presented this just so wonderful.
Well, what we are, we're a food bank and distribution here in Texas, rescued dogs and cats. We are collectively serving over 138 rescue shelter organizations that are collectively feeding over 8,000 dogs and cats and even 100 ferrets every single day while they wait for their forever homes. Our goal here at RPEL is to help feed them, support them. We provide them with everything from, we actually distribute 40,000 pounds of dry, 15,000 cans every single month. We also provide medical supplies, collars, leashes, bedding, shampoos, you name it. It's here at the RPEL Rescue Center here in Texas. It's very exciting what we do. We have a lot of fun.
Wow, that's a lot of food.
It is a lot of food. It's crazy. In addition to that, we just started a new program that we're collaborating with Chris at Adopt-A-Shelter. We're excited about. It's called Cans to the Rescue. What it is, we have an overabundance of canned dog food, really high-quality premium foods. Everything we have here really is on the premium side. We have, but we decided to root out rescues. It's a very large doing is we're actually shipping it right to their door. It's really exciting. We literally can ship a pallet of 1,600 cans. All boxes. We're hoping to expand out into surrounding states and maybe, who knows, the full United States if it all works out. That's what we're up to.
Well, Chris, how are you helping Judy? How is this going along with Cans to the Rescue?
Well, I came in contact with Judy some time ago just by way of signing her organization up with AdoptTheShelter.com and then really coming to realize exactly what she's doing. And having been in the pet industry as long as I have, it became clear to me that she really is a shelter distributor. And what she is doing is she's bringing all these goods in and making it possible for these shelters to buy all of these goods that they need at substantially reduced prices so that they can allocate those precious resources towards the animals where they really need to be. And that's what really started getting me all worked up about this. And so when I go to trade shows like Global Pet Expo or wherever, either Judy and I are working together to go find stuff or, you know, we just find ways to facilitate more product flowing to those shelters. So what we're doing...
Really,
so is it donations-based? Are companies donating?
Companies both donate, but also Judy has the ability to buy products, like salvage products, such as, Judy, take it from there.
Yeah, we actually, yes, we go anywhere in the United States to pick up donated or products. We pay the freight. Manufacturers love working with us because it's like a one-stop shop. They pick up the phone, they say, hey, we've got a truckload of product, come get it. And we'll either, if it's donated, terrific, we pay the freight to come pick it up. Or if it's salvaged, we'll negotiate a deal to actually purchase the product. We also, Chris mentioned, we sell our product, but it's really a program service fee, and some of the products are actually free as well. So that kind of tells you a little bit where we get our products. And it is all over the United States. It's pretty cool.
Is it normally something that has been discontinued, relabeled, or about to go off? Is it that kind of a thing?
It could be near date, expired. A lot of times they'll be changing. A manufacturer will change their packaging. So
yeah.
If they've upgraded their packaging to something new, they want to take all of the old packaging off the market. So we come in and take care of that. Another neat thing, it's kind of a win-win for everybody. We actually buy mistakes. Let's say they have a mistake in a package. Well, they don't want to put it on the retail market. And so we'll come in and either they'll donate it, we'll purchase it. But the neat thing about RPEL, we do not hurt a manufacturer's retail market because we don't touch retail. We are strictly rescue shelters only. We do not work with the public in any way, except maybe they'll want to give us a donation. Of course, we'd love that. But, yeah.
Well, Chris, I'd love to get the information out there. How can people help you? And how can people help with the pet food bank in Dallas and Cans to the Rescue and Judy?
So what we're doing over the month of April and May is we're doing a major statewide Texas-size campaign. And what that is going to include is going to be, this is basically our soft launch with you, Deb, because we love you and you have given us the floor, the listeners, the ability to reach out beyond our sphere of influence. And so that's why we really felt compelled to want to do this today, here and now. But it will really run for the next 65 or 70 days through the end of May. One of the events that we're going to be having is in conjunction with the Houston Pet Expo, which will be April 8th and 9th at the Pasadena Convention Center. All the rescues and shelters in the greater Houston Metroplex area that come, they should come. They should come find us so that we can get together and make sure that they know about and can take advantage of Cans to the Rescue. It's so important because when you think about it, a lot of senior dogs, and senior dogs are really close to my heart, benefit from the softer canned food rather than the kibble variety. The next event that we'll have in May is going to be at the Dallas Pet Expo, and that's going to be an even bigger event where we're expecting thousands of people. And with Judy being very close to, our pal being very close to the Metroplex, we just want to reinforce the message to all of the Texas area shelters and rescue groups, this food, these cans are available, and please take advantage of this overabundance. We just want to help fill the bellies of more canines.
That's so good. Well, we've run out of time, Chris. Do you want to tell them quickly how they can do the usual, buy stuff and donate?
So when you're thinking about shopping online, simply go to adoptashelter.com. Pick your favorite shelter or rescue organization, like our pal. And once you've done that, connect to your favorite stores. We have from Amazon to Zazzle and 750 stores in between, including over 90 that sell pet products. Every time you shop that way, a percentage of everything you buy will be donated to that shelter you chose. Free to you, free to them. So please click shop, donate through adoptashelter.com.
I got to wrap up, Chris. Thank you so much for joining, Judy. Thank you for coming to the show.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything. I hope you get the word out and the cans keep flowing and the dogs keep getting fed. It's awesome. Thank you very much, Judy.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's been great. Thank you, too, Chris. Until next week. All right, everybody. We got one more segment coming next with Becky Starr. And, well, I'll talk to you about that after the break. Stay tuned. Hey, pet lovers, now you can simply wash your pet's filthy collars and leashes. Introducing Laundry Leash, a padded, porous laundry bag designed to get rid of those nasty germs. Simply zip up your pet's collar and leash in Laundry Leash and toss it in with your next load of laundry. Wow, no more soaking or spending money to replace them. This is what I want you to do. Go to launderleash.com, LaunderLeash.com. At last, an easy way to get rid of the bacteria and germs on the dirtiest pet product we all own, Laundry Leash. Hello! You're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And, well, we're going to be talking with Becky Starr from Redstone Media Group. You may have seen some of the magazines she represents, like Animal Wellness Magazine, Equine Wellness Magazine, Feline Wellness Magazine, IVC Journal, that's for the vets, or Canadian Dogs. Now, I have that in my washroom at the kennel for the clients to peruse. I do. And I always think maybe I should put an ad in there as a breeder, and then I never get around to it. The pictures are beautiful. The magazine is beautiful. It's a gorgeous magazine. So if you want to get a magazine like one of these, you're into cats or horses or dogs, then Becky knows how, and it can be free for a year. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Oh, hi. Hi. I'm sorry. I said hi, and then there was a big old pause, so I wasn't sure if you could hear me. Yes, they can. Everybody can reach out to you to find out how to get a year's free subscription to any of the magazines, so have them go to your website and let me know.
Nice. Okay, so today I know you want to talk about walking the dog, and you're not talking about the yo-yo move. You're talking about walking the dog. Why are we talking about walking the dog, Becky?
We're talking about a walking the dog because of a new experience and a new take I had on things by my own learning lessons. I know, you know, you as a trainer, of course, there's a really big, huge subject about, you know, walking your dogs out there in the world from one point of view, and that is, you know, really training the dog, understanding how important training and control is of the dog, and, you know, learning that trust. But as we all know, for the most part out in public, I would say I mainly experience a very small percentage of people who really have a clue how to control their dog, which is really sad and scary.
Oh, yes. You know what? When I used to look for business, I would go to the off-leash dog park and look for the person who's truly at their wit's end. You know, they just can't get that dog to come. And they're screaming and they're shouting and they're pretending to drive away. And that's my new customer. There's a lot of them out there, though. A lot of them.
There is. And you being a trainer, you know, truly understand that. And you know, one of the things I used to always, of course, when I'm walking my dog and I'm approaching another dog, I'm really looking at the dog, right? I'm looking at their body language, their energy they're putting off. And you kind of can know immediately, if you're really in tune to that, whether you trust that dog or red flags come up. But I've found that that's not always correct. So I have a whole new way. I recently moved to a location and I have to walk my dogs on a very busy dog street. And I learned something really important, and that is to watch the owner. It actually tells a bigger story.
Oh, interesting. I really thought you were going to talk about the dog body language. Like a wagging tail isn't always a happy dog, right?
No.
You know, just because they look like they're rushing up to you doesn't mean they're picking a fight. Like, there's some things about dog behavior that people really get wrong. And
that's right.
You know, and you can't, and there's so many little factors you take into. People say to me, how can you tell, you know, whatever it is I'm saying, oh, look, there's an intact male and another intact male over there, and they're about to have a fight. What? How can you tell that from here? And it's like, well, look at the way they're standing. Look at the way they're, you know, posturing. Look at their little movements. Look at their sharp, stiff bodies. Look at how every muscle is tight. You know, most people don't notice any of that. It's hard to know, right?
That's right. So because a lot of times, too, as you're saying, you don't know, and a lot of people don't know until you get up close and up too personal to that dog, to know whether to trust the dog. So as I've been walking, forced to walk my dog 5 times a day on this busy ocean street with bikers and joggers and runners and skateboarders and every size dog, you know, it's been a bit stressful, I can say. And what I've learned now is I can tell of half a block away, what's coming at me. The minute that I see, I look at the owner now. When the owner is allowing, you know, they have this 100-foot flexi leash, and the dog is way out there, nowhere near them, first, that's a big red flag. It means that owner has no regard, no control of that animal. They're just allowing it to do its thing. Then, if they're talking away on their cell phone, another big red flag. There is no way they could react quick enough for an emergency, and they're not taking care in watching the dog. Then, love it when they're standing in the middle of the sidewalk, looking down and texting. The dog is way off doing whatever it's doing. No clue, no control. Again, red flag for disaster. Or the owner's standing and having a conversation with somebody and never even looking down at what their dog is doing. The other big clue if that dog is pulling and tugging and yanking or yapping and barking, no control. The owners tell you the story. And it's
Oh my gosh, you're tough. Well, but what if the dog, now here's the thing. Okay, so as a dog walker, I used to walk groups of dogs, all kinds of dogs. It was a little bit before cell phones. At least I didn't have one. Other people did. So I wasn't exactly using a cell phone, but I often had a coffee. You know, I had a pager. I would be looking at my pager. I'd be drinking my coffee, eating something sometimes. But I didn't do that when I had the difficult dogs. I did it when I had the remote control dogs, the dogs that were just so good, or they were so worn out. It was the end of the walk. They were all behaving just brilliantly. You know, so sometimes isn't somebody not bothering kind of an indication that the dog's so good or old or mellow that they don't need to?
It can be an indication.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because, of course, you know your dog, right? But a stranger doesn't know your dog. So, you know your dog and you can go, oh, you know, Fluffy or Fifi would never run away. They're never going to bite anybody. They're never going to do anything. And, you know, so you're casually having your coffee, you're enjoying your walk with your dog, and, of course, it's you knowing the dog. So sometimes, though, in that comfort zone, while you may know your dog, you may not be prepared for someone else's dog that suddenly runs around the corner off-leash, no owner in sight, and suddenly you have a situation going on. And you've got a coffee in your hand and a text and a cell phone and a bag and, you know, groceries
couple
or whatever you're
doing. Oh, sure. Why not? Let's pile it on. Maybe I got a baby in one of those sacks on the front. Right? Come on. And I got a handicapped pet in a wheelchair, a canine chair, a canine cart. Come on. Let's make me really a big victim here. Because I could be.
I know. But it's so true,
food,
right?
I'm having a picnic. I have food, and I have special needs kids at the picnic. Come on now. Let's really... No, but you're right. You got to look at your risk. Look at how vulnerable you are and where you are, and look around you, and keep an eye on the entrances and exits. New dogs enter the park all the time. Just because your sweet 8-year-old golden retriever has never had a fight doesn't mean the guy coming next to the park hasn't beat up every dog he's encountered for the last 3 weeks, right? Like, there could be something you're not aware of. So I totally get your point, even though I'm teasing you a little bit.
No, I want you to tease me because 99% of people actually do this, Deb. And I was never aware of this until I was forced to, you know, be in public every single day with my dogs. The unresponsible pet owner is, you know, like a disease. It's like they're not looking, they don't care, they're in their own little world, and suddenly, you know, even though that dog is sweet and cute and kind, some big giant thing that isn't so cute and kind comes bolting around the corner from a beach, you know, all these little U streets, and takes me off guard and takes my dog off guard, and then that creates, you know, a stress between, you know, the owner, and I've learned, and I'm sure you train your people, that what you feel as the owner goes straight down that leash right into that dog. So what you're feeling...
Oh, that's so true with fears. If the lady's afraid and she's hanging onto the leash, the dog will protect her. She's afraid of what the dog's going to do, but the dog doesn't know that. He thinks she's afraid of the people coming next. And it's like classic every time. I take the leash, the dog calms down. She takes the leash, the dog gets all anxious. And it's just, you could see it. It's amazing. Actually, it's on my DVD. I'm going to have downloads up on my website soon at debwolf.ca, but some of it's on YouTube. If you look me up, Deborah Wolf Dog Trainer on YouTube, there's some of it. I can't get over how visual dogs are, how obvious it is, and how quick it is. And that's why you get a case where the dog always acts out with the husband or always with the wife, but never with the other one. Always be good as gold with the one, but with the other, oh, incidents happen all the time. It's because that person's nervous. And the dog's going into protection mode. We're coming to break, Becky, but we're going to come back. So we're going to talk way more about this.
Okay,
And other things. You know, we have a couple minutes left before we have to go to break, maybe a minute now. But I thought I'd warn you. So we're talking on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We're talking with Becky Starr from Redstone Media Group, representing a whole bunch of magazines, horses, dogs, cats, veterinarians and Canadian dogs, because, you know, we're so different, aren't we? No, I'm just teasing. Animal welfare. That's the thing about dogs, though. I've heard that. It's truly international, right? I can go anywhere and speak dog, and any dog can go anywhere and speak dog. They learn our languages, and they have to relearn depending on who's yelling out human language commands at them. But in terms of getting along with each other, it's international. It's amazing. They can thrive. You could plop your dog down in a completely foreign land, and it would just find the source of water, find something to eat, get along, find the shade. Okay, so we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Your dog wouldn't need to go take a crash course in Berlitz German or Hungarian. If you put him in Hungary with a new family, he'd be fine. He'd make do. All right, Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
you know
I really do.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. New health equals new life by giving your pets a 100% natural jerky treat using 100% human-grade ingredients. Family-owned, made, and sourced in the USA. No chemicals, no additives, high in protein and grain-free limited ingredients jerky treats. This is what I want you to do. Go to www.newhealthpet.com. Turkey, chicken, wow, chicken, an apple, and sweet potato jerky treats for your dog. Created to be high in vitamins and minerals, but low in fat. Incredible. Just go to newhealthpet.com. Once again, newhealthpet.com. Your pet will love you for it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Gerard Lariat, creator of the best aromatherapy pet care, has something great for your pets. All natural and 100% biodegradable products recommended by veterinarians. It comes in 5 distinctive scents for shampoos, sprays, and candles. And it will help your pet relax and have plenty of energy at the same time. This is what I want you to do. Go to puppyprimp.com. That is puppyprimp.com. Puppyprimp.com. Your pet will love you for it.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I know if we were on live AM radio, like back in the day when I used to do local shows here, CBC or CKNW or CKOV, all these local AM shows, the switchboards would light up. And if I had said something like I did in the last segment, people would have called in to say, so what do you do when you go to the dog park and that owner is frustrated and can't get their dog to come and they're late for work? What do you do? How do you win that person over? Well, the first thing I do is I approach as the good time, happy dog lover, not the person who's annoyed and irritated and in a hurry. So if I figure it's a ball dog, and it usually is, I start juggling, I start playing with the tennis balls, and I start kicking them around, and that dog that isn't paying attention to his owner is near me so fast, and I grab it, and I put a leash on it so it doesn't feel confined. I say the word walk and get it all excited, and then I take it over to its owner and say, here you go, and they're very happy. So you got to be the good time person. You got to be the person that looks like you're doing something so fascinating that your dog just can't resist. I've had times where I didn't have balls or toys and I had to just make do with what I had. And I would just drop down and start digging in the sand because that's what dogs do. And then they all come running over. Hey, what's she digging? What's she doing? What's she got? Let's check it out. Okay, I got you. And so that's how I do it. All right, so we're talking with Becky Starr, and we're going to keep talking about walking the dog. Welcome back to the show, Becky.
Thank you, Deb. And yeah, so that has been my sharing of the big day is while we always look at the dog, start looking at the human, because it's going to tell you the story of whether that human's got control of that dog or no control. Because you can tell the big difference, as we were saying, hey, I'm on a cell phone, I'm drinking my coffee, my dog's 20 feet away on a flexi, I don't even know where they are. But when you see an owner walking down the street a block ahead, half a block away from you, they're walking with stride, they're walking with a confidence, that dog is right next to their, you know, side. You can feel safe, you can feel comfortable, because the owner has control and is aware of that dog. So that's been the big lesson. Watch the owner, not necessarily the dog. And when you're walking your dog, make it your full attention. Don't be on your cell phone. Don't be, you know, doing five other things.
There's, you know what else, though? There's also the owner. That's like the disengaged owner who's not bothering. But then there's the owner who's just not managing. You know, you hear him or her coming. You hear him, stop it, get off. You hear, right? And you hear, that's the sound of their dogs, two little, three little dogs wrapping around their legs. You know, and you hear them going, sit down, run. Okay, that's not who you want to go hang with at the dog park. It's who I go over with my card, but you don't want to go over there. And the flexi leashes, oh, man. Okay,
oh God.
If you're in a wheelchair or a scooter, there's a reason you need the flexi leash, then you can get a trainer to help you use one properly and your dog will respond. And basically it'll be an off-leash dog where the leash is just decoration so you're not breaking any laws. And the dog is push-button command, will come to you, will jump into your lap when told, all this stuff. But if that's not you, and your dog is not special needs, okay, there's another exception. If you're walking two dogs, and one is fit and young, and one is really elderly, and just likes to drag along, moseying along, checking out the bushes behind you while you do your heel training and your other work with the stroller and the active dog, okay, that probably works. Or if your dog gets injured, and you really need to walk it in this sort of mosey kind of way, okay, that works. But if you have a dog that's disobedient or hyper, it does not belong on a flexi leash. That is the worst thing in the world. You're going to cause yourself and other people leg burn with that stupid rope that I hate as it wraps around. But you're also teaching your dog to ignore you. You're teaching it that the object of every walk is to get as far away from you as it can and that it really doesn't have to pay attention to you because you guys are independent. You got this long line. You're just vaguely connected. I think it's a terrible thing, the flexi leash, for the most part.
They're horrid. Horrid. They should be banned.
Except
awful.
For those uses I said. Whereas then there's
right.
things like the prong collar, which for me, the only good use is if you hang keys, it really sounds pretty in the wind, you know? But otherwise, I wouldn't use one. I really wouldn't. Because you get, people say, oh, it's like the mama dog giving a warning. No, it's not. No, it's like adding adrenaline and pain when your dog is disobeying you and probably reacting to another dog. So you're just adding more intensity to the situation. That's not a good plan.
No, and not only that, but it's like you said, thank you, Lord, you know, anti-flexi, anti-prong. But the other thing I think that people do have misconceptions about is even walking their dog with a regular collar. I don't, and unless that dog is perfectly trained, if that dog is pulling or tugging or any stress on the neck, you know it causes trachea damage, it causes structural damage, and it also causes eye pressure to where they can become get bulging eyes and having eye problems. I look at the collar as their jewels. They wear them all the time to have identification on them, but they do not walk on them. The dog should be walked with a harness, in my opinion.
That's interesting. See, I'm not as adamant on that. I do believe that for some of the dogs, especially the tiny little ones with the tiny little throats, the Minpins and the Chihuahuas and the Bassets and the Beagles and the certain dogs that really, you can't have that huge hunky body weight pulling on that little neck, right?
Dachshunds,
the certain dogs. But when you get like a husky who pulls and you put a harness on it, you're going for a ride. There's got to be a better way. So
well,
a halter collar is
that,
a great solution. A face collar, you know, that fits right over the muzzle, that's a great solution to that for walks.
Yeah, yeah. But what about,
there's all kinds of solutions.
What's your opinion on the harness, right? There's, I've studied many of the harnesses, and of course a lot of people think the harness and it clips on the back, up on the back of their neck around their spine, you know, or shoulder. But they have the front hook harness, which means they can't pull you. You have full control. because it kind of goes around the front of the chest. What do you think of those as far as on the larger dogs?
You know, I'd have to try it out myself. They used to produce a product called a Loopy, and it caused a lot of dogs to dislocate their shoulders. It looked good on the dog, but when the dog really pulled, it wasn't working very well. Now, I'm sure they've modified it now, but it kind of makes me want to judge on a case-by-case basis because these things are, you know, it's anatomy. It's important. It fit right. And that's the thing about harnesses. You got to check the fit. Just the other day, I was noticing a regular daycare pickup of mine, a dog named Kokanee, who's a Papillon cross. He doesn't want to get in his harness. He wants to come with me, but he doesn't want to get in his harness when I go pick him up each day. So I mentioned it to the owner, and, you know, we checked, and it turns out it's a lot tighter on him than it used to be. He's built up some muscle coming here, and it just isn't feeling good anymore. The other thing about the harness is Kokanee would rather not wear it when he's out playing in a field loose with group dogs. He doesn't want to have this urge to deke because he's afraid they're going to grab him by the harness and take control of him, right? And I never even thought of that till I watched him outside. I thought, okay, why else doesn't he like this harness, you know? So it's for walks only with him, and it's got to fit right. So, you know, you got to figure out what your dog needs when it comes to these collars and harnesses. But even for those people choosing choke collars, there's a way to choose a collar that's both. It's a flat, regular collar, like what you call like the necklace, and it's also got the choke bit in it. And so what happens is when you're working with your dog, you teach him or her that if he's polite, if she's polite, we don't need this harshness. You get to wear it just loose and obey me because you love me and because we're on the same team and we have the same goals and we're together in life, and that's that. I walk left, you walk left too because you want to walk with me, right? That's how it goes. But and then if the dog gets overwhelmed, maybe it's a 1.5-year-old Weimaraner and someone just walked by with a bird on its shoulder. Okay, now you got a problem, right? The dog starts pulling, going crazy. That's the time you might switch back to the training collar for a short time till the dog is calm. And so you're teaching your dog, if you're good and calm, you get all the freedom in life. But some people will need more than a harness, especially with the bigger dogs who pull. And so I do love the face training collars. They work brilliantly. Sometimes you need a trainer to help you the first couple of sessions, but they work really, really well. And sometimes the people at the store will help you. So it's worth checking that out. There's a bunch of different brand names, Promise Collar, Halty, but they fit like a horse's bridle, like a horse's halter, rather, around the face. And so there's no pulling on the neck or trachea, but you don't have to fight the big dog chest, torso, and low center of gravity and all their muscle in the case of, say, a Malamute or a Husky, which was kind of made for pulling. You don't have to fight that with your arm. Instead, it's a bit of an equalizer. So yes. It does depend on the dog you're training too, right,
Becky? Of course. And I want to bring up one last safety issue again. Remember, today I'm tipping you off on watching the owner, not the dog. So for me, another really fun thing I've learned, and I feel really safe about harnessing me. Many times when you're out walking your dog, and sometimes when I've been sick or weak or something, I always think, oh, my God, what would happen if I fall down, I have a heart attack, some health issue, something happens to me, and I'm walking my dog, and I fall down on the ground, and that leash, I drop the leash.
You let go. What if you let go?
There we go. Or something does happen, and I have to lay there or break my leg, whatever, and what happens? My dogs are running off and going away if they're not perfectly great, and all dogs are still dogs. Squirrel runs by, something happens. So right. I found I now wear every single walk a little waist belt. Now, I know that they call them free hands-free waist leads, or waist belts that you can just hook on yourself. But you can also take a little fanny pack and hook that onto yourself and have your keys and dog bags and all the other stuff in it. And you can just run that leash hook right around the doggy pack, you know, thing before you hook it on. And
see, I'm getting a visual image here, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good thing this isn't a fashion show, because I'm getting a very disturbing visual image of you out for a walk with your dogs with your fanny pack.
I have a very cute little black, you know, like waist leash, but again, I use the fanny pack too, and I just hook their leash right onto that, you know, thing before I hook it onto me. And I tell you, that way, if something happens to me, I fall down, anything goes, that dog is stuck to me like glue until somebody shows up to help us. And I don't think a lot of people
think about that. Someone will, because that they've done all these tests on it. You know, if you just fall down, and people might think you're drinking, they might think you're homeless, they might think all kinds of things that make them not stop and help you. But if you've got a little dog attached to you, that's not, it immediately tells them, okay, this is not right. Something's out of place here, right? And so someone will. Okay, well, we only have a minute left. I think that's great advice. Watch the owner. If they're out of control or completely ignoring their dog, maybe that's not the one to meet and greet. You know, good advice, definitely.
And hook them on to you.
That's right. And we'll be back with Becky Starr again next week. It's been Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We talked about all kinds of special offers. If you want to check it out, dubwolf.ca, or listen to us again next week. Thank you, Becky.
Thanks, Deb. Have fun, everybody.
Okay, yeah. Happy March break to all of you just ending in Canada. Happy Easter. And be good to your dogs. Until next time, be good to your animals. And anytime you're near.